Welcome, ladies, to tonight's Ladies Leading Ladies. I'm Gail Hofker, and I'll be your hostess for tonight's Bible study. And Joellen is going to start us off with a prayer.
Hey, Heavenly Father, most merciful, wonderful God in heaven, with Jesus Christ at your right hand, we thank you for the opportunity to learn more about your way tonight. We're going to learn about the Book of Psalms, which are so beautiful. Thank you for Gia for all the work that she does, and we're most anxious to participate and learn from the lesson tonight. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, it's so nice to be back with you now after the feast. We hope you all had a great feast and found it rejuvenating and inspiring. As I began my study on Psalm 3, I realized that the psalm was going to be impactful for everyone. Everyone has been in the same place that David was at one time or another. Everyone has felt desperately alone and in need of assistance in a situation which felt like it had no good outcome. Let's begin our study of Psalm 3. Psalm 3 and verse 1 starts off with Psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. This psalm starts off with a title. It is the first psalm to do so. In early Bible manuscripts, there is no distinction between the title and the remainder of the psalm, and for that reason, they should be considered part of the inspired text. Only 34 of the 150 psalms have no title. Also, this is the first psalm with David's name attached to it. Many times, the psalms start off with a musical inscription as well. This is the first psalm to include the word psalm. The word psalm comes from the Hebrew word mizmar. The true meaning of the word has been lost, but in general, it can be said that it means a poem to be sung to musical accompaniment in praise of God. This word appears 57 times in the superscriptions. 54 times it appears in association with a name, either David, Korah, or Asaph. Let's read the entire psalm before we begin an in-depth examination of this psalm. Psalm 3 and verse 1. Psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. O Lord, how my foes have increased! Many are the ones who rise up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me out of his holy mountain, Selah. I lay down and sleep. I awake, for the Lord has sustained me. I am afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck out all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the wicked. Verse 8, salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessings be upon your people. Selah. David recounts the most traumatic and humiliating experience in his life in this psalm. Everything he had worked for was quickly unraveling and coming to an end. Those he had considered friends and allies were turning against him, and he was feeling utterly alone, and he felt a failure at virtually everything. His son Absalom was conspiring to take over David's throne. If you haven't read 2 Samuel chapters 13 through 18 recently, you, like me, may not completely remember this event. InspiredScripture.com has a brief summary of this story, and I would like to read it so that we all know what happened and why David was feeling so alone and so desperate. The InspiredScripture.com website starts off with the title, Absalom's Conspiracy to Depose His Father and King David. Absalom was David's third son from 2 Samuel 3:3. Sadly, Absalom murdered David's eldest son, Amnon, after Amnon raped Absalom's sister Tamar, 2 Samuel 13, 23 through 38. Absalom then fled and spent 3 years living in exile in Geshur, the homeland of his maternal grandfather, 2 Samuel 3:3 and 13, 37 through 38. He then spent another 2 years living under house arrest, 2 Samuel 14, 28. The second oldest son, Chileab, would have been the next heir to the throne, 2 Samuel 3:3. But despite having murdered his brother, Absalom's ambition would not let an older brother or even his father stand in front of his desire to be king. He embezzled the country's funds to hire men and horses to put on regal displays for the people. He then conspired to overthrow his father David and become king of Israel, 2 Samuel 15, 1 through 6. Absalom was prideful and coveted power because he was both a prince and one of the most handsome men in Israel, 2 Samuel 14, 25. Absalom's conspiracy gained strength after one of David's top counselors, named Ahithophel, turned against David. 2 Samuel 15, 11 through 12. Ahithophel was Bathsheba's grandfather, 2 Samuel 11, 3 and 23 through 34. Thus, Ahithophel likely had a deep hatred for David. Once David's advisors determined that Absalom had gained support throughout Israel for his revolt, David was forced to flee with just 600 men, 2 Samuel 15, 13 through 18. After seizing power, Ahithophel gave Absalom wicked advice that he sleep with David's concubines, who also happened to be Absalom's mothers-in-law, 2 Samuel 16, 20 through 21. Absalom then embraced Ahithophel's evil advice and slept with David's 10 concubines in the open for all to see. This was a direct attack on the king. 2 Samuel 16, 22 through 23. Ahithophel then offered to hunt David down with 12,000 soldiers and kill him. 2 Samuel 17, 1 through 4. During this time of evil and betrayal, David turned to God and poured out his heart in prayer. 2 Samuel 15, 30 through 37. 2 Samuel 15, 30 through 37 tells the story of David fleeing Jerusalem to the fords of the Jordan River in a place called Bahurim. It was a long and arduous journey of over 20 miles. They're doing this all on foot. We see from this short synopsis that David has had a series of tremendous physical, emotional, and spiritual hits that has brought him to an all-time low. Any one of these alone probably would have been enough to make anyone depressed and feeling like the world was against you. This psalm concentrates on David's thoughts in the time period of his flight from Jerusalem, his own danger, the number of his enemies, the suddenness of the peril, and the great disloyalty and crime of those who had risen up against him. David feels forsaken by God, but he expresses his confidence that God will be his protector. Well, that's quite a series of events that just were coming at David one after another. That is how we came to David writing Psalm 3. Let's look at Psalm 3 in depth and see what lessons we can learn from it. Lessons that will help us through our difficult times when we feel all alone, when we feel all is lost, when we don't know how to go on. David was a man of faith. Through his strong faith and ever confidence and reliance on God, David gives us seven lessons that we can learn and put to practice in our life. We're going to learn these seven lessons in this short chapter. Number one, hope. Faith allows us to have complete hope in God in any situation. The first lesson is about hope. We see this in verses 1 through 2. Many of those who should have been David's protectors and guides have turned against him. They had risen up against David. He fled his throne and his capital, a strong refuge. Now he was a fugitive seeking a place of safety. If God wouldn't save him in his throne, would he save him now? Many of the people are saying there is no hope, that not even God can help David. They may not have felt that God couldn't help, but that God was unwilling to help him. If we look at the word for help, it is even more profound or severe. The word for help is Yeshua, or salvation, aid, or deliverance. Many are saying that David's sins are so great that all is lost. He cannot be delivered. Have we ever felt that our sins are so great that we can't be delivered, that God can't forgive us? At the end of verse 2, we are left with Selah. The meaning of this word is not wholly determined. It is thought to have some reference to singing or to the poetry. It is probably a musical term. In general, it indicates a pause, perhaps a time to meditate. David is being very open with God at this point. He is pouring his whole heart out to God. He is saying he feels very distressed and alone. And the people are saying that not even God is with him. But David pauses to meditate. Is this true? Does he believe it? David realizes that this stressful time is a fulfillment of prophecy. After David's sin with Bathsheba and Uriah, God warned David in 2 Samuel 12, verses 10 through 12, that, quote, "The sword shall never depart from your house, and I will raise up even against you out of your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun," unquote. David was reaping what he had sown. He didn't have any moral authority to rebuke Absalom. He was receiving what he had previously done. Anytime we refuse to submit to God, we allow Satan to rule in our life. But we, as children of God, we can rely on God to help us to overcome him. Let's read what it says in 1 John 4 and verse 4. 1 John 4 and verse 4. It says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he who is with you than one who is in the world." This is what David did. He turned to God to save him, to help him, to give him hope. God is greater than anything we can face in the world. While in the midst of a terrible, heavy trial, David put his hope in God. That takes us to our next lesson in Psalm 3, verse 3. Psalm 3:3 says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head." God will provide protection in our greatest need. Protection is the second lesson. Protection. We can have complete faith that God will protect us. David faced many frightening experiences. Instead of being fearful, he turned to God for protection. Later on in David's life, he composed a psalm recalling his past in a psalm of thanksgiving. David sang of God's intervention. He called God a shield. This is mentioned in 2 Samuel 22:31. This is in David's Psalm of Thanksgiving. 2 Samuel 22:31. "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all those who seek refuge in him. David found God's shield of protection, a place to take refuge. Proverbs speaks of God as a shield as well. Proverbs 30, verse 5, uses the word shield in relationship to God. Proverbs 30 and verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. God wants us to look to him for protection. For those who are trusting and believing in God, he wants to bless them with protection. So it's a dual street. God wants to protect us, but he wants us to be seeking that protection from him. Psalm 5 and verse 12 says, "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield." So David's saying, those that are righteous, those that are following God, will be blessed with a shield of protection by God. If you want to receive God's shield or his hedge of protection, you need to submit to him. Sometimes we are in a state where we are not putting our trust in God, and he wants to help us to learn lessons to do that. David went through this. When Absalom was trying to take over the throne, David had to flee Jerusalem. David, the king of Israel, who should have had the protection of the entire army, fled Jerusalem with 600 men, the same number of men that he had when he was fleeing from Saul. Before David became king, God reduced David's army in order to help him to put his complete trust in God. David couldn't trust his small army to protect him when he was going against 10,000 or more of the military of Israel. He had to rely on God. If God has temporarily removed from you your health, your wealth, your job, or anything else that makes you feel vain, proud, or powerful, it might be a lesson for you to learn to put your trust in him and not yourself. At times, we are in the position that other people are attacking us. We do not need to revile back toward them. We can use this time to call out to God for protection as well. It speaks about this in Psalm 109. Verse 28. Psalm 109, verse 28. They will be cursed, but you will bless. I'm sorry, they will curse, meaning the other people will attack. They will curse, but you, God, will bless. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let your servant rejoice. We can ask God to intervene, to protect us and to cause the offender to be put in his place or her place. God watches over and protects those who look to him and trust him to take care of them. We can rely on God's protection. Not only did God protect David, but he raised him up and gave him victory and restored his honor. Elsewhere in the Psalms, Psalm 18, 48 through 49, David again wrote a psalm praising God for his deliverance. So let's read Psalm 18:48. Psalm 18:48. He delivers me from my enemies. Yea, you lift me above those who rise up against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Verse 49. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the nations and sing praises to your name. David trusted in God to protect him, but he also remembered to praise and thank him for being with him and delivering him. Just like humans, God appreciates being thanked. So when you have received protection from God, remember to thank him because he doesn't have to, and he appreciates us turning to him and realizing that he does protect us in many situations. Let's move on now to the third lesson we can learn from enduring heavy trials in Psalm 3. Psalm 3, verse 4. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me out of his holy mountain, Selah. The third lesson is answered prayer. Answered prayer. God is faithful to hear our prayers and to respond in our best interest. Notice I didn't say he will give us everything we ask, because sometimes that's not God's will, but it will always be in our best interest. When David was in trouble, he turned to God for help. God was faithful to answer him. Whether this was in times of sin, irritation from enemies, or in times of danger, David turned to God with a humble heart to seek God's help. Prayer is a tool that we all can use when we are in desperate need. Here in verse 4, it says David cried to the Lord. I imagine this as a loud, impassioned plea. David was desperate. Crying out in deep passion does give us a sense of relief when giving utterance to our deep-seated feelings. David was desperate. His life was at stake. So he was making sure God heard him. Prayer does not always have to be loud and vocal. In fact, God does not hear the prayers of those who raise up their voice to be seen by others. Isaiah 58, verse 4 and Matthew 6, 7 explain this, that if you're just raising your voice up in a loud voice to be seen of people, God won't hear your prayer. God also understands the language of the heart when a voice is not heard, such as Hannah's silent, fervent prayer in 1 Samuel 1 and verse 13. Hannah prayed, moving her lips, but not making any sound, and God answered her prayer for a child. Though God assures us that he hears our prayers, he also warns us that he is not like a magic genie that we can pull out at a whim. God warns us that he would not hear the prayers of those who rebelled against him. That's stated in Proverbs 1 and verse 28 and 29. Proverbs 1, 28 and 29. Then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. David knew this. He knew he had to be right with God in order for him to answer. David knew that he must be in a humble, repentant spirit before he approached God. He expresses this thought in Psalm 34:15. Psalm 34:15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Once we have made ourselves right with God, he will hear our prayer. David always found God ready to answer his prayer from his holy mountain. David was referring to the symbol of God's dwelling place on earth, the temple of Mount Zion. This is where it was customary to offer prayer. They often went to the temple to pray. And this was where David was accustomed to receive answered prayer. When we look to God in heaven when we look to God in heaven in our prayers, he answers from his holy throne. So God didn't have to be dwelling in the temple. God dwells in his holy throne in heaven, but David saw the answer coming from Mount Zion because it was a symbol for God's throne in the heavens. Again, in this verse, we see the term Selah, a musical term of pause, a time to reflect, a time to meditate and wait to hear God's answer to our prayer. Let's move on to the fourth lesson of deliverance from Psalm 3. Number 4, provision. God is faithful to provide all our needs. Provision. God is faithful to provide all our needs. Psalm 3:5 says this: I lay down and sleep. I awake, for the Lord has sustained me. How often have you been troubled by various things during the day? Maybe the day has been fraught with problems, delays, extra demands, and you are going to bed and your mind is running with all the unfinished business of the day and what lies ahead tomorrow. I had a few of these before the feast, and it was hard to quiet my mind. You can't settle down. You close your eyes and your mind continues to think about what it is going to do tomorrow or how it is going to solve the unfinished problems of today. You are sleepless most of the night and you awake as weary as when you lay down. But David says he awoke sustained by the Lord. David had days like this, but he found a way to deal with the cares of unfinished business and demands. He found a way to sleep and awake refreshed. How did he do that? David had a quietness and calmness of heart. In the midst of dangers, through prayer, he was able to commit himself and his cause to God. Relying completely on God's protection and having fixed his heart on God, he was able to lie down in peace and safety. In another psalm, David says, Psalm 4, verse 8, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. David expressed his knowledge of God's perfect peace to fill him. David expressed his praise and thankfulness to God for every provision he provided. One time I asked my daughter what she did when she was awake at night. I'm not sure what we were talking about, but the subject came up. And she says, usually if I find myself awake, I try to pray, because that generally puts me to sleep. But I think that's because we're talking to God and having this conversation with him, and it gives us a sense of peace and settledness, and we're able to sleep. So even if your prayer may end in the middle of not, so we say, not a finished prayer, I think it's a good thing to do when you wake at night and you can't sleep. Pray to God. David expressed that God could help him sleep and be refreshed. Many years later, Jesus expressed a similar thought to his disciples. Let's look at what Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 6, 31 and 32. Matthew 6, 31. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we be clothed? For the nations seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. God knows everything that we need, so we don't have to be anxious about it. He knows, and he will provide in due time. He's promised that. Paul also expressed this same thought to the Philippians in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God in everything. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. God is faithful to provide all our needs. We can lie down with calmness and peace and know that God will sustain us in all our needs. We can lie down in peace, in complete trust in God to provide all our needs. Now let's go on to the fifth lesson. The fifth lesson is courage. Faith in God gives us courage to face any challenge. So the fifth lesson is courage. Psalm 3, verse 6 says, I am not afraid of ten thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. So here David had fled Jerusalem with his 600 men and probably children and people, but just 600 fighting men. And there's ten thousands of people out there to attack him. And he says he is not afraid. David was fleeing for his life from Absalom. Despite having only 600 men, David had the courage to face thousands of soldiers without any fear. David's courage was only possible through the faith and the power of the Holy Spirit. We know David relied on God to help him. We first see David's trust in God when he fought Goliath. So David, when he fought Goliath, was only a young boy or a young man. He wasn't of age to go to war yet. This is stated in 1 Samuel 17:45. 1 Samuel 17:45. And David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Even while just a youth, David relied on God. David's continued reliance on God is recorded in many of his psalms. One place it's recorded is Psalm 27 and verse 1. Psalm of David, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" God strengthened David in all aspects of his life, physically, spiritually, emotionally. When he knew God was with him always, he did not need to be afraid of anything. God's presence gave him courage. Here's an example of David expressing his courage backed by God. Psalm 16 and verse 8. Psalm 16, 8. "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." We can stand strong. We can be courageous. Our enemies are no match against God's power. Let's look at what Paul said about God's power in Romans 8:31. Romans 8:31. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" If God is our ally, we can have this quiet confidence that we will be sustained by God's presence in our life. This courage is based on experience and faith, and is won when we refuse to fear and when we fix our trust on God. We can be courageous. All right, the sixth lesson we learn when in difficult trials is deliverance. The sixth lesson is deliverance. We have faith that God can deliver us from any challenge. Psalm 3 and verse 7 says, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the wicked." David had just finished expressing his courage and complete faith in God to protect him from his enemies by expressing his reliance on God. Now he encourages God to stand up and be earnest, and he earnestly calls to God to help him. David calls him by name, Yahweh, or some like to say YHWH, and always says he is his God. There were no other gods or idols that he was calling on, only Yahweh, his God. David recalls in times past where God has prevailed against his enemies. As David, we can derive comfort and assurance in our present troubles by recalling what God has done for us in the past. He who has saved us in the past can save us in present perils. David uses phrases of fighting taken from his experience of fighting wild beasts, the enemies of his flock. The use of cheekbone denotes the bone which contains the teeth. Disabling this bone effectively deprives the animal from attack. God had disarmed his enemies in the past, and he confidently called on God to do the same again. God's invisible power defeated David's foes, Absalom and his co-conspirators. When David and his small army of men fought Absalom, there was a great slaughter of approximately 20,000 men. Remember, David only had 600 men. We know that God was with David because of the next verse. 2 Samuel 18, verse 8. 2 Samuel 18, 8. For the battle was scattered there over the face of all the country, and the forest devoured men. No, the forest devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. It wasn't completely by the hand of David's men, but God caused the circumstances to arise, and the woods or forest caused more death than by the hand of man. Then Absalom, their leader, fled, and he was killed also, but not by the hand of man. Let's read what it says in 2 Samuel 18:9. 2 Samuel 18:9. And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up, hanging between heaven and earth, and the mule under him went away. So the men didn't kill Absalom. The tree did. God did not, or David did not want to see his son killed, and he was greatly saddened by the event. But he knew God had fought the battle for him. God had delivered him from his enemy. Though the result of the fight was not exactly as David had hoped, he kept his confidence in God. He was still able to praise God for his deliverance. Psalm 119:161 mentions one deliverance of God, or that God provided. I don't know if it was this exact situation David was referring to, but it is applicable. Psalm 119:161. Princes, Absalom was a prince, have persecuted me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. David looked back on what had happened and remembered to thank God for his deliverance. David stood in awe of how God had delivered him. For us, it too is encouraging to look back at events when God has delivered us. It gives us courage to see that He is a protector, or He can deliver us in many unusual ways. Let's move on to our final lesson on this psalm. Number seven, salvation. Our only faith in God brings us salvation. Psalm 3, verse 8 says, Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be upon your people. Selah. This psalm started out by expressing that many of the people said there was no help or salvation. The Hebrew word for salvation is Yeshua, for David from God. Now David returns to that thought again in this verse. David understood both in the immediate and in the ultimate sense that salvation was God's to give. David received deliverance from Absalom. David often expresses his joy in deliverance by God in other psalms. Another example is in Psalm 37:39. Psalm 37:39. For the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. We can see that in our life. God is the one that helps us and delivers us in our time of trouble. Deliverance is given to the righteous, those that are trying to follow God. He is there to help them in their time of trouble. David often expresses his appreciation to God for deliverance. Just as God helped David in a physical salvation, we as believers and followers of God can receive spiritual salvation. Let's read what it says in the Gospel of John. John 3:36. John 3:36. The one who believes in the Son has everlasting life, but the one who does not obey the Son shall not see life, for the wrath of God remains on him. Those that believe in and follow the instruction of Jesus and his Father can be assured of eternal life, salvation. David ended his psalm with a request to God for blessings to be bestowed upon God's people. David knew he was loved and blessed by God. He had a personal, intimate relationship with his heavenly Father. He asked that God would extend that same blessing on his people, those who are listening and following him, or God. David wanted us to have the same type of relationship he had with God. David is known as a man after God's own heart, and that's written in two verses, which was a surprise to me. I knew it was in Acts, but it's also in 1 Samuel 13, 14 and Acts 13, 22. If we want the same blessing that David received, we have to be the same type of person as David, someone who has complete faith in God. We have to be someone who is continually and constantly in contact with God. Our relationship has to be personal with God. We have to know him like we would know a best friend. Psalm 3 was written under a time of trial when David fled from Absalom. We learned seven lessons that David mentions in the psalm that we can learn if we turn to God during difficult times. The lessons or things we gain when going through trials are hope, protection, answered prayer, provision, courage, deliverance, and salvation. When you are going through a difficult time, how about turning to Psalm 3 to refresh your memory of the blessings that God gives to us when we walk through a trial with Him? Almighty Father in heaven, thank you so much for this time of study with the ladies, and that we can look at the Psalms written by David, recorded to encourage us, to give us strength, and to stay faithful to the end. Father, we know you're there for us. Help us to stay humble, stay teachable, and to always look to you for strength and guidance in every aspect of our life. Father, I give you thanks also for the ladies that have listened and studied. Be with them and strengthen them, encourage them, and help them to stay faithful, to be an example to those around them. It's kind of like a continuing waterfall. It's when we follow you and David followed, we follow David's example, others can follow our example. So help us to be a light and an example to others so they can receive and see the same promises that you have given us. We ask these things, be with those that are sick and ill. Kathy seems to be sick right now, not feeling well. Please be with her and encourage her and uplift her. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.